A reading from the book of Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then Yahweh said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was Yahweh who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of Yahweh, because he has heard your complaining against Yahweh. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When Yahweh gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because Yahweh has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against Yahweh." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to Yahweh, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of Yahweh appeared in the cloud. Yahweh spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am Yahweh your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that Yahweh has given you to eat.'" Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon, and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you." Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of Christ.
And now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In my sermons over the past 3 weeks, as we did this mini-series exploring the name of Yahweh, the name of God, I mentioned on several occasions that as God reveals God's self to us through the scriptures, we find that in Jesus, we have the greatest revelation of God at our disposal, that we see the character of God most clearly in Jesus and understand what this God is like. And so I thought, having done that, that from this Sunday onward, I'm not starting a new series per se, but that we would simply explore what the gospel has to say, what it is that Jesus is saying in this ongoing revelation of God. And so we're in the latter part of the Gospel of Matthew, and the lectionary will carry us through for some time, and so that's what we're going to do. And so today, we heard from the gospel about the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Now, as you heard it being read, you might understand that oftentimes this parable is one of the ones that's not liked so much by so many. It seems like it's tremendously unfair. It seems like there's an injustice going on. And as I was just for fun looking on YouTube to see what other people have had to say about this parable, it's remarkable how many times you see that in the title, what to do when life is unfair and so on. But I think to bring up the idea of something being unfair is to miss the point of what Jesus is actually making about that parable. And it would be important for us to understand what he's really driving at when he told this story. Now, one of the keys in the Gospel of Matthew is we see Jesus taking a theme of his teaching to be introducing what it is like, what the kingdom of heaven is like, sometimes referred to as the kingdom of God as well. That's why this parable opens up with these words. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner," and then he goes on into the story. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Now, if we take the kingdom of heaven to mean that place you go when you die, I would suggest that we're missing the point of what Jesus is talking about. That's not what he's describing. The idea of the kingdom of heaven, well, the ancient concept is God's abode was in heaven while also being present on earth. But when you think about the Lord's Prayer, "May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven," that right there is showing us that this idea of the kingdom of heaven cannot be whatever the nature of that place is you go when you die, because it's supposed to be happening now. It's supposed to be happening here. In fact, our prayer is that we would see it here. So when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, what he's describing is what the world is meant to look like when it is being lived out in light of God's will and purpose. That the character of God would be displayed in the people of God. That we would see God's intention for humanity and for all of the creation being lived out in real time now. Now, you can certainly guarantee that when this life is over and it continues after this one, the work done already will continue there too. There is a connection ultimately, but when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about the characteristic that we would live by in light of who God is. And so he tells this parable as an illustration of the kingdom of heaven. So what do we learn about the character of God? What do we learn about how God operates? Now again, when we look at this initially, and if we perceive it as being an unfair story, a couple of things happen. Number one, we think God himself is unfair. But the other thing that happens is sometimes we get the idea that if Jesus tells this parable, that we're supposed to do exactly what is in the parable too. And so sometimes people think, is Jesus really expecting that I should run my business that way? That I would not give equal pay for equal work? that I would treat people differently just because I felt like it. Jesus did not tell the parable as an instruction on your Christian MBA. This is not instruction on how to run a Christian business. He is making a case for the character of God, for people in general, and he also has something to say to the apostles in particular, which we'll get to. But I think for us to understand and appreciate the parable more requires us to look at the parable from the perspective of the workers in the story. That is going to be vital for us to appreciate what's being said about God. Now, the first thing we have to appreciate is that part of the economy of ancient Israel involved the recognition that there were people who were day laborers, people who were unskilled workers. They did not have their own business. They were not already wealthy. These are people who need to be hired by somebody else, and that they would be living quite literally from hand to mouth, that they had to work over the course of a day in order to make the money so they could get the groceries and take it back to the wife and kids at home kind of thing. This is part of how it works. We see this in the book of Deuteronomy. There is instruction given in the Torah that says this: "You shall not withhold the wages of poor and needy laborers, whether other Israelites or aliens who reside in your land in one of your towns. You shall pay them their wages daily before sunset, because they are poor, and their livelihood depends on them. Otherwise, they might cry to Yahweh against you, and you would incur guilt." So God is making it very clear that there is this understanding that people who are living hand to mouth need to be employed and need to be paid right away so that they can feed their families. This is well known. This is the context in which Jesus is living, and it's in this context that he tells this story. By the way, this practice of having day laborers is something that still continues to this day in a number of different countries. And I've been told, actually, that there is even a similar model here in Calgary up until about the 80s or so. Around the mustard seed in the Beltway, apparently people could come and see if someone would hire them, and then they could work. So this is not a new thing, or it's not even an ancient thing. It's something that is still practiced. So here's the story. You have these day laborers. They're all poor. They're all living day by day, and they wake up in the morning, and they got to feed their family, and so they get up, and it's probably going to be 6 o'clock in the morning, because the workday was typically 12 hours long, and they get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they need to work. And so all of them are motivated to work. All of them go to the marketplace, to the place where they're going to wait and see if someone is going to come and hire them. Well, this landowner shows up. He's got a vineyard. Evidently, it's harvest time, and there's a need to get the grapes harvested, so he needs to go and find a bunch of guys who can work in his vineyard that day. So he comes up and sees all these guys there, and he's thinking, okay, I need, let's say, 10 guys to work in my vineyard. What's he going to do? He's thinking, okay, my job is 12 hours long. I need someone who's got, you know, a robust physique. I need someone who's going to have the stick-to-itiveness to just keep on going solidly. And so he'll pick the 10 best guys in that group and say, okay, you, and you, I want you to work in my vineyard. All right, I'll pay you the usual daily wage, literally a denarius in the scriptures. But if we were to update this today, let's say it's minimum wage, $15 an hour for 12 hours, I'll pay you $180 for you to come and work in my vineyard today. And all 10 of those guys are going, yeah, sure, that's great. Thank you. Awesome. I got a job today right away. And so they go off with the vineyard owner to go to his vineyard. And I wonder if maybe one or two of them might have said to the other guys, sucks to be you, but I got the job, you know, and away they go. They're happy. They're going to be able to feed their families because they need that $180. And so they go off to work. The other guys are left there going like, yeah, okay, well, we didn't make the first cut. Maybe someone else will come along. I hope I get a job today. I need to get a job today. Well, 3 hours later, Jesus says that the landowner comes back. Evidently, he's recognized he needs more help than he got initially and is looking for more people to hire to work in his vineyard. And so he comes there 3 hours later and he sees these guys. Oh, good, there's still more of you guys here. I need 10 more guys, let's say. And so he picks 10 more guys and says, you go work in my vineyard and I'll pay whatever is right. And so these guys are going, yes, I got a job. Okay, I'm only going to make $135 today because 3 hours have already gone by, but this is great. I'm going to be able to get something home for my family. They're happy. They're off to work. That's why they were there. They were wanting a job, and away they go. And so the other guys are left there. And now this is starting to follow a little bit of a pattern. You know, you remember elementary school? high school. PE teacher says, okay, guys, we're going to play a game. So all of you line up against the wall. You're a captain. You're a captain. We're going to pick teams. I hated that, right? Because, you know, I was not the paragon of physicality that I am now. And so I was always one of the last guys chosen, right? So this is what it's starting to feel like for everybody else that are waiting. They want work and they haven't got it, and now they missed the second cut. So now they're third stringers or whatever. Well, it turns out the landowner needs more help. So he comes out at noon and then again at 3 p.m. hiring more of them and saying, yeah, go to work and I'll pay you whatever's right. So the guys hired at noon are thinking, okay, $90. That's better than nothing. This is going to be great, you know. And the guys at 3, at least I'm coming home with 45, and they're going to be able to do something. What's it like now for that last group of guys hanging there? They've been there all day wanting to work. They're needing work. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's like, we missed that cut too. Like, what chance is there for anything? How am I supposed to go home to my wife and kids empty-handed? What are we going to do for supper tonight? I mean, I guess I could just go home now. I mean, who's going to hire us now? But I told my wife I'd be home at 6:30, and, you know, so they're just kicking rocks or whatever because no one wants them. They're too weak. They're perceived as being unable to do the job. And they're thinking, what am I going to do? Well, Jesus says the landowner comes back at 5 o'clock. This is literally the 11th hour. This is where we get that phrase, by the way, at the 11th hour. It's from this parable. It's 5 o'clock now. The landowner comes back to the marketplace, and Jesus doesn't say that he's even looking for more workers. He just happens to notice that there's guys standing there. He's going, how come you've been standing here idle all day? And they're saying, well, no one's hired us. No one wants us. And so the landowner just says, well, you go into my vineyard and work as well. And so they take off to do that final hour of work. And they're probably thinking, okay, you know, $15. It's better than nothing. I don't know what kind of economic magic I'm going to have to work right now to be able to feed my family tonight, but at least it's better than nothing. I get to work. Thank you. I get to go. So then the end of the day comes. And because the landowner is following the law, as outlined in Deuteronomy, he tells his managers it's time to pay all the workers. So I want you to line them up, but start with the guys that got hired last and pay them. And so these guys that have been thinking they're no good and how are they going to feed their families go up expecting to get their $15. And they're given $180 instead. They're given the full day's pay. And what's their response going to be? This is amazing. It's like, now I can feed my family like I had planned. Now I've got what I need to support my wife and my kids, and I've got the whole amount. Thank you, right? What kind of gratitude would they have felt towards the landowner? Now, the guys who were first, now at the end of the line, are going, hey, did you see that? They're getting paid $180 an hour now. So let's see, 12 hours? That's going to be $2,160 we're going to come away with today. What a windfall. And they come up there and they get $180. And they're saying to the landowner, what? Like, how is this working? How come I'm not getting way more? And the landowner is saying, what? When I hired you first thing this morning, you said that you were happy to work the 12 hours for $180. So you worked the 12 hours and I've given you $180. Isn't that what we agreed to? Yeah. Yeah, but you paid that guy $180 for 1 hour's work. And the landowner is saying, okay, wait a minute, though. Why is this a problem? We fulfilled the agreement, and I can do what I want with my money. And if I choose to be generous to this guy, what is that to you? Why is that an issue? Or are you jealous because I'm generous? And then Jesus says at the end of the parable, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. What this parable is pointing to is, if you hadn't figured it out, God is the landowner, right? And what we see happening is the concern of the landowner in the parable is that he recognizes these people, as Deuteronomy said, are poor. They are living hand to mouth. They are trying to do what they can with what they have to support their families. And the landowner is saying, I want to make sure these people are able to support their families. And he paid them all the same. Everybody who was there first thing in the morning wanted to make $180 that day because they needed to take care of their families. The landowner made sure everybody got $180 to feed their families that day. The issue wasn't employment standards, but generosity on the part of the landowner to take care of these people who relied on him for their means to survive and to thrive. Jesus is saying in this parable that God's character is like that, that there is no seniority in the kingdom of heaven, as it were. That those who started early on, maybe, you know, you've been a Christian all your life, like I have been, for example, like from day one, you've always been a Christian, you've come to church, you worship God, all that kind of stuff. You know, God is certainly pleased with that, and carrying on that practice enables us to be that much more solid and firm in our spiritual practice and our growth, our maturity. Like, there's certainly benefits to being one who has a long-standing practice in that way. But in God's eyes, this was the complaint about those who came first. He said, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us." Well, that's how God operates. Somebody who comes to faith late in life, maybe someone who is just facing death, they realize that I only got so much time now, and I got to get right with God, and they do that. God says, "Yeah, you have the same standing as someone who has been faithfully serving me from the beginning." Someone has said it this way: the ground at the foot of the cross is level. There's no hierarchy when it comes to approaching Jesus and receiving the salvation, the fullness of life, the forgiveness of sins, all of these things that is provided to us by God through Christ. And so God is one who is wanting to see everybody having their deepest human needs being met by his gracious action. There's no seniority. Now, the disciples really needed to hear this, because you see, this parable wasn't said entirely by itself, just out of the blue, Jesus tells this story. It's told immediately after something Jesus said in the previous chapter, in chapter 19. There he was teaching and preaching, and this young man came up to him and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, what are the commandments? Follow those and you'll live." And he says, "Yeah, I've been following them, no problem. I've been, you know, doing the whole thing." And Jesus says to him, "Well, there's one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, then come follow me." And the young man went away sad. Why? Because he had great wealth. He wasn't prepared to do that. And so Jesus turns to the apostles and says how difficult it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, here's where we have to understand that Jesus cannot be talking about wherever it is that you go when you die. Because then he's saying, if you're rich, you can't go. And that doesn't make any sense. That's not the truth. But what he is talking about is an attitude of self-reliance, where there is a perception that there is no need of God. And if somebody is in that place where they feel there's no need of God, how are they going to receive anything from God? How are they going to enter into or participate in the kingdom of heaven? How are they going to be ones who recognize any need to live in accordance with the will and purpose of God if they are feeling that they are so self-sufficient that they're self-contained? This is what Jesus is driving at. The disciples aren't quite getting it. And so Peter says, "Well, then who can be saved?" And Jesus says, "With human beings, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." And then Peter asks an important question. He says, "Well, look, Lord, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Peter is saying, look at us, your 12 apostles. We were here from day one. We've left our families behind. James and John left their father in the fishing boat to follow you. We've left everything. What's in it for us? Interesting question. And Jesus responds rather graciously. He says this, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Jesus makes it clear that these 12 apostles do have a specific and honorific job to do when all is said and done. But then he goes on and says, however, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. And then he says, and many who are first will be last. Many who are last will be first. Jesus is saying to the apostles, you guys feel like you're at the end right now. You've given up everything. You're not making a gazillion dollars. You've been doing this instead. You feel like you're the last. Trust me, anybody who has been in that situation like you are will receive so much more in the life to come and even on the way to that. Having said that, you're the last, you'll be first. He then tells us the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And now the disciples, the apostles, need to understand that they are the guys who were hired at 6 o'clock in the morning. They are the ones who were there from day one working with Jesus, slaving through the heat of the day, doing the work for the promise that Jesus had held out for them. And Jesus is saying, guys, be careful, because there will be others who will come to follow me much later in the day, as it were, than when you started. And yes, I will treat them equally to you in that way. I will be as generous to them as I have been to you. Be careful that you do not begin to think that somehow you've got a place of seniority. Now again, someone might feel that that seems unfair, but I would encourage you to see it that all of it is an extension of God's grace to everybody involved. Using the parable itself, all of those guys were poor, counting on getting a job. And he could have chosen any of the 10 to start with. Any 10 guys, if he was choosing 10 guys to start with. He could have chosen any of them at the very beginning. And he chose those first guys. And they would have been grateful that they were hired. That was an act of God's grace. And making the guys hired at 5 o'clock equal to them was also an act of God's grace. The kingdom of heaven is characterized by the grace of God to all. And so anybody has this opportunity to be able to know that when they give their attention and their lives over to follow Jesus, to follow in the will and purpose of God, to walk in the ways of Christ, that they all share that same benefit and blessing for being the people of God. Ones through whom God will be able to see the kingdom of heaven being done on earth. Amen.